Open your Bibles with me, please, and join me in the study of Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 1 says, "Now Moses, with the elders of Israel," that means all of the leaders of Israel together with Moses to stand as one with one authority, "commanded the people, saying, 'Keep all the commandments which I command you today.'" Not translated exactly right. Instead of "keep all the commandments," it should say "keep the entire commandment." In other words, it's not a string of commandments where we can pick and choose, but the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God make up a whole, and God expects us to keep the whole. Hence the scripture says, "He who has broken the least of these commandments is guilty of all." And the wages of sin, of course, is death. So the point is, in order to earn favor with God, we would have to keep every single commandment, statute, and judgment that God issued and uttered, if that were even possible, which of course it's not. So we must come to God through faith in our Messiah, Yeshua. For in Him we find salvation, not by works of our own, because we can never be good enough to keep all the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God perfectly. But that is what the people are commanded to, is to observe the entire commandment, the whole enchilada. It says, "which I command you today," because Moses has been reiterating the Torah, the whole Torah, in the book of Deuteronomy. That's why it's called Deuteronomy. It means second law. That is the second iteration or uttering of the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. And his point is, when you enter the land, recommit yourself to follow God's Torah, which means God's teaching. The word Torah means instruction. The heart of the word Torah is the word Or, which means light. Verse 2 says, "And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you." See, they haven't done it yet. They're still on the east side of the Jordan River, having not yet crossed over into the land. So on the day that you do cross over into the land, Moses is saying, "You shall set up for yourselves large stones with whitewash, with lime," meaning coat them with plaster. They're going to take large stones, coat them with plaster so they can write on them, and it will be visible to everybody to see. Verse 3, "You shall write on them all the words of this law." The word there isn't law, it's Torah. And like I said, Torah really doesn't mean law, it means instruction. It's the whole of the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, the way God told us He wants us to walk. Or another way to say that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy make up the Torah. So verse 3, "You shall write on them all the words of this Torah when you have crossed over," that is over the Jordan River, "that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey," that is a land of agriculture that's good for growing crops and flocks and cows, etc., "just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. Therefore it shall be, when you've crossed over the Jordan, that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones, which I command you today. You shall whitewash them with lime." Again, it means coat them with plaster. "And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use an iron tool on them," meaning the stones had to be as God made them. You couldn't use iron stones to shape them, because that would be symbolic of our helping God redeem us or save us or cover over our sins. And we can't help God. So the stones had to be the stones just as the way God made them. And what they picture is our Messiah Yeshua, who in Daniel chapter 2 is described as the stone cut out without human hands. Because Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection brings salvation to all those who believe in Him, and we can't help God save us. All we can do is believe on the completed work of our Messiah Yeshua. So they couldn't shape the stones to build this altar. They had to be stones as God created them. Verse 6, it says, "You shall build with whole stones," that is not pieces of stones, but whole stones as you find them, "the altar of the Lord your God, and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God." I thought we could only bring sacrifices to the temple in Jerusalem, but remember, this is long before that. There is no temple in Jerusalem. So this was the commandment of the Lord God, that when you go into the land, you build this altar. Verse 7 says, you shall offer peace offerings, and you shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord your God. A lot of people misunderstand the offerings that the children of Israel were commanded to bring. It wasn't like they brought a lamb and slaughtered it and burned it up on the altar. For any kind of offering except an olah, the holy burnt offering, you got most of the meat back and you feasted upon it. You had kind of a great big barbecue. So whenever you think of sacrifice, think of a time of great barbecue. You put the blood upon the altar and the innards and some of the parts that you don't eat. Part of the meat would go to the priest, the rest you'd have a big barbecue with. So whenever a Christian hears the word offering or sacrifice, meaning an animal sacrifice, they go, ooh. Whenever the Jewish people would hear it, they go, yay, barbecue. Verse 8, and you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this Torah. That is, they're to write it such that everyone can clearly see it, so there'll be no misunderstandings. None of this, well, I thought what you said was X. No, go read the stone, and the words will be written plainly upon it. Verse 9, then Moses and the priest, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. So they didn't become the people of the Lord by showing their obedience to the commandments. No, they entered into a relationship with God first, and then what follows is obedience to the commandments because they're the people of God, because they've entered into that covenant with the Lord God. Verse 10 says, therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God. Actually, it should just read, therefore you shall obey the Lord your God. Obey the voice here comes from the Hebrew phrase Shema Bekol, which is an idiom, which means to obey. So therefore you shall obey the Lord your God and observe his commandments. The word observe there is simply the word do. Do them. That's how you observe them, is you do them. Observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you've crossed over the Jordan. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. That is, six of the tribes of Israel were to stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. Verse 13 says, and these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse. In my Bible it says to curse, but it means for the curse. And they're the tribes of Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So six tribes on Mount Ebal. And they're going to shout back and forth toward each other. Verse 14, and the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or a molded image, referring to making a pagan idol, which is an abomination to the Lord. An abomination is something that the Lord God hates. The work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. All the people shall answer and say, amen. In other words, they're agreeing to the fact that making an idolatrous image is forbidden, and the person who does it is to be cursed. Verse 16, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say, amen. If you think back to the scriptures, God said, honor your father and your mother. So those who do not honor their father and their mother are to be cursed. And all the people, when they say amen, say, we agree. This is the way we shall live. Verse 17, cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say amen. What it means to move your neighbor's landmark is when a land is surveyed, suppose I live here in LJ, Georgia, and I've got a piece of property, and there are survey markers at the four corners of my piece of property, as there are. If I go and move one of those markers onto my neighbor's land, it means I'm stealing part of their land, claiming it as my own. So if I do that, the scripture says I am to be cursed. And all the people said, amen, we agree with that. Verse 18, cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And all the people shall say amen. God cares about the poor, the blind, the weak, the lame. And when we do things to hurt those who can't take care of themselves, God takes great offense. And this says, the one who makes the blind walk off the road is to be cursed. And the people said, amen, we agree with that. Verse 19, cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people say, amen. One of the charges that God brings against Israel and causes them to go into captivity in great judgment is that it came to the point where the rich people would go to the judges and slip them a bribe and get the judgment in favor of themselves against the widows, the orphans, the strangers, who were in fact honorable or meritorious. The judgment should have gone to those who were unable to defend themselves. And God says, when you pervert justice like that, it really makes God angry. So here in verse 19, cursed is the one who perverts the justice, meaning gives the judgment to the one who's unworthy against the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people said, amen, or we agree with that. That's the way it's going to be. Verse 20, cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he uncovered his father's bed. All the people shall say, amen. So sexual relations with your father's wife is forbidden. And the people said, yes, we agree with that. Verse 21, cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal. That's talking about bestiality. All the people shall say, amen. So the scripture says that a man or woman who has sexual relations with an animal is to be put to death. And people said, yes, we agree with that. Verse 22, cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. All the people shall say, amen. Again, it talks about proscribed sexual relations. Verse 23, cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, amen. I think we all understand that that's another forbidden relationship. Verse 24, cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. So when people lie in wait to rob others of their earthly possessions, etc., that's a great offense to God, and they're to be cursed. And the people said, amen, we agree with that. Verse 25 says, cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. All the people shall say, amen. In other words, if two people would come to the judges and say, we saw Henry over there commit murder, then they would put Henry to death, because on the testimony of two or three persons let all things be established. So if two people lied and said they saw Henry commit murder, the judges would sentence Henry to death and put him to death. And God pronounces judgment not only upon those who bore false witness, but also upon the judge who took the bribe so that Henry could be put to death. Of course, because those who testified against him wanted to take his lands and his property and his possessions. In verse 26, to sum it all up, they didn't go through every one of the commandments, but they sum it all up by saying, cursed is the one who does not confirm or uphold all of the words of this Torah. And all the people shall say, amen. In other words, they agree that the whole Torah was to be not only followed, but to be treasured, if you will, to be kept, to be guarded, to be protected, to be meticulously followed. Because God had done all that he had done for the children of Israel, this is what they owed him, was their love first, followed by their obedience. And with that, we'll bring the study of Deuteronomy chapter 27 to a close. May God bless you one and all.